This is a photograph of the alien from the movie Alien. This is what you could end up looking like if you eat some of the raw, frozen shrimp being sent to the United States by other countries. If you eat it, how could you end up looking like the alien in the Alien? Because the shrimp was radioactive. I kid you not.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
You know, there's like some people have like when they get older, they get that little thing with their finger where they can't extend it all the way. Not arthritis. It's like a muscle disease. It's like,
and
it's got a very specific name. I've probably seen three people in my entire life that I noticed this was a thing, like where their fingers were kind of curled a little bit in a weird way. But there's a medication for it, and ask your doctor. And
Cyrizi?
Yeah, Cyrizi. I hear that one all the time, too.
All the time. Yeah.
Ozempic.
There's that one and the Skyrizi.
Skyrizi, yeah. Skyrizi.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. The fight is on. It's on the internet, and I'm all here for it. Even though the governor of Utah has pleaded with us all to put down our phones and our social media, walk away, touch some grass, I say nay, Utah governor. I will be in the fracas of the social media argument. The social media drama that has taken the world by storm. We all know about it. It's been going on for, you know, since the events of the, I don't even need to mention it. Chiropractors are not doctors. Okay, that's it. I'm in the buckets. There I am. Chiropractors are not doctors.
I have something to say about chiropractors, but we'll get back to that.
There is a
finish your thought.
There is. I took a left. I was going to swig, and then I swagged. I was going to zig, and then I zagged. There's a big argument going on right now between some famous influencer doctor types, which I'm really into that kind of content right now,
yes.
You know? And their constant beating up of chiropractors and their finiggly ways. And I'm not talking about the chiropractors who crack your back, give you a good stretch, you know, pull you out. I like those kind.
Yeah.
I do feel like a good neck crack feels good.
Oh, yeah, it does. And we've got a really good one that we use.
But I have found that when I am in true back pain, the kind of back pain that has I've suffered since I was in the restaurant industry, lower back pain.
Yeah.
If I'm having a bad episode, the chiropractor is not the place to go. They will not fix it. It will not be better.
Mm-hmm.
And the chiropractor I've used recently will even tell me that you should go to the doctor, to the actual doctor.
Or like physical therapy. Does that help too?
Phys ed does help because they are stretching out the muscles and strengthening the things around the slip disc or the herniated disc to try and get it to calm down. But even they will tell you this is not a miracle cure. We're just trying to strengthen and loosen the stuff around the irritation so that hopefully we can give you some relief. And so every time it's the same thing. It's, you know, I don't take prescription pain meds, but, you know, maybe a muscle relaxant and then phys ed. That's it. That's what they do, you know, every single time. Then when I'm feeling good, I go to the chiropractor just because that feels good to me.
Yeah, and just to kind of keep it in shape.
Yeah. So I'm not against chiropractors. I want to state that. But I do agree with some of these online doctors who are calling out some of the more twiddly-wink practices of the chiropractors, like the little tiny clicker that they use to solve all your problems, and they're claiming to cure cancer and calm down thyroids and fix hormonal imbalances, all because they saw it on an x-ray. Like this one doctor who I think his name is Dr. Justin, if I'm getting it right, on Instagram, if you want to check him out. I think this is the one who did this. He was showing chiropractors on their Instagram claiming how they cured inflammation in someone's stomach. There's like 20 of these chiropractors who made the same claim on their Instagram by looking at an x-ray. And as the doctor who works at, I think, Mount Sinai, so aptly described, you cannot tell irritation from a x-ray. You get that in first year med school. That is shit. that is poop in someone's stomach. 20 of them in a row. I mean, honestly, he just kept going through them. And every single one, the doctor, the chiropractor would be like, inflammation, going to use the clicker. And he'd be like, shit, they just need to take a shit.
They need to poop. Some Metamucil.
Yeah, they need some fiber. And I am here for it. I love it because there are some quackadoodle practices around chiropractory.
Chiropractory. Yeah. But I would have to argue around a lot of the medical field.
Well, there is quackery in the medical field in general. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that if you go to medical school and get, you know, I'm not saying that there also isn't a bunch of bullshit in real medicine too. There mm-hmm. really is. It's for-profit practice, especially here in the United States. A lot of the medications that we are served up, I believe, may or may not be needed, and mm-hmm. they make great money on them. Like, I see commercials when I watch television, of which I do watch quite a bit here in the studio, you know, with my headphones on or editing. Every single commercial break, I see a fucking ad or listen or hear an ad.
Oh, yeah.
For a medicine for the most random of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Example. You know, there's like some people have like when they get older, they get that little thing with their finger where they can't extend it all the way.
Arthritis?
Like, not arthritis. It's like a muscle disease. It's like, and okay. It's got a very specific name. I've probably seen 3 people in my entire life that I noticed this was a thing, like where their fingers were kind of curled a little bit in a weird way. But there's a medication for it, and ask your doctor. And
Cyrizi?
Yeah, Cyrizi. I hear that one all the time,
all the time. Yeah.
Ozempic.
There's that one and the Skyrizi. Skyrizi,
Is your normal depression medication making you extra depressed? Skyrizi is in coordination with 7 other medications that you take. Ask your doctor. It could cause blindness, herpes of the nose, you know, ear bleeding.
Oh, all of those.
Arm to fall off.
Yeah, all the
toe
warnings.
Toe curling. That's right. Erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. One of the side effects I heard was, I swear to God, oversensitive pubic area. I was like, oversensitive pubic area is a thing? Sign me up. Skyrizi,
wow.
Indeed. I'm not here to make a judgment call on all quackery. There is a lot of it that goes on, especially in like the nutraceutical field and all that other bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
It's been going on time immemorial. We can all be pretty much assured. That blue's going to bark.
There she is.
Yes. That blue's going to bark.
They need a medication for her, but you've tried everything. So.
That's right. But I will tell you right now, for sure, without a doubt, that I have met some chiropractors who just like, they're just selling something that I'm not buying necessarily. And I see them online all the time. I'm not talking about your friendly neighborhood chiropractor cracking your back and stretching you out. I'm talking about the people who use the clickers and are claiming to cure cancer and all this other craziness.
Yeah, I know that's crazy. But yeah. I did think about why they're so buff. Remember, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
How chiropractors are all like really muscular
they
and
are.
Buff.
That's it.
And I thought about it the other day. And I thought, you know why? Is because they have to be able to like crack people, like twist
yes.
people and get them into different positions. And some of those people are very large people.
Yeah.
So I think that's it, that you have to stay in good shape with some muscles.
I also think it all generally starts with the school of
yes.
chiropractory, right?
Chiropractory.
Which Life College here in Atlanta.
Oh, it's huge.
It's like
the one.
Yeah, it's like home base for chiropractic education. And there is just something that I have noticed since I worked very close to there in a restaurant, in a bar, and there were a number of...
And then you partied with them.
Yeah, you know, was at a crank-smoking orgy with them, which was wild. And then the sex party that I went to was almost exclusively Life College students. It was crazy. I mean, a few random old men and crazy old women, but it was mainly young, sexy, in shape...
Uh-huh.
Life College students. And that was insane to me. They are largely a very in shape group of
yes,
people.
Yes, they are.
Beautiful, in shape. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about.
I know.
I think they want to, like, just imagine your local influencer, right? Your local bikini influencer. And they want to put doctor by their name. And this is a, you know, this is an entrepreneurial kind of venture when you become a chiropractor. I mean, Astrid and I went to a chiropractor here, and it was of the quackery sort. I will tell you that. We went, Astrid wanted to find a chiropractor. She felt it could help my back. She was, I think, pregnant with our second child, and she thought, you know, she was having some back issues. And so there was a new one that opened up. They sent us a piece of mail. Come in for free consultation and free, you know, free first service. And so we thought, well, it's right across the street. Let's go there.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out. And we went in there, and we were there no less than 3 hours. No less than three fucking hours, being taken from room to room and told about the magic world of chiropractic and how we're a family here. And when you're a family here, we have books for the kids and we have movies on Sundays and there's ice cream socials and we can fix your problems. How's your penis? How's your sex life? What is your marriage like? Have you heard of God? Have you believe in Jesus Christ Superstar?
What?
It's like it went on and on and on and on and on. They wanted to sell us on all of these services and get the package and we can do this and updated x-rays and we can tell everything that's wrong with an x-ray. And I kind of felt like the very first time I went to a chiropractor, which is a friend of mine. I know chiropractors. I have friends that are chiropractors. And he's got a very bustling business. And I went to him for years. And I loved that sensation of being adjusted. I did.
Oh, yeah.
I really
did. Especially the neck.
Yeah. But I also crack my knuckles. So, and I know it's a terrible habit, but there is some relief that comes with that. So I know how addicting cracking things can be on your body when you get there. Crack my back. I crack my neck. So I knew the very first time that I went to a chiropractor and they took x-rays of me and then tried to determine what was wrong with my back through the x-rays, it didn't smell right because every other real like orthopedic that I had been to had said they took x-rays too to make sure nothing was
broken. Yeah.
But then they were like, we can't tell anything soft tissue unless we get you into an MRI. That's it.
Yes.
You got to go to an MRI. I can't tell you what's wrong with your back. I might be able to see their spacing issue, but I don't know what's actually wrong until I actually see the tissue in 3D. That's the only way that I can tell what's wrong. So when I've been to other chiropractors who all of a sudden diagnose me with something based on an x-ray.
Yeah.
It doesn't pass the sniff test.
You're talking about sniff test with the poop.
Yes, with the poop. I just love that reel. I just thought it was brilliantly done. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then he was like talking about the clickers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my 2-year-old daughter has those as a toy. He's like,
yeah,
how is that?
You can get those things everywhere.
Yeah, he's like, how is that curing cancer? He's like, riddle me that, right? And thyroid problems and, you know, neurological disorders and autism and all this other stuff. You take it too far and people are wanting solutions so badly that they're willing to pay the price to get any kind solution. And I understand that kind of need for hope and the desperation and wanting to fix something.
Yeah.
But man, I'll tell you what, I'm in the fray. I'm in the fracas. I'm hearting reels left and right. I'm like, heart, yeah, I like that. I like that. I never get into the comment section because it's just a shit show in the comment section.
Oh yeah, it's too much.
I just read an article by Vice magazine. The internet has become a dead mall. Talking about how 1/3 of all internet activity is just basically bots right now. Couldn't agree more with that, and you know it if you've been on social media. You know that 1/3 of the activity is bots. The followers are bots. The comments are bots. The people who are liking things are bots. The views are bots. It's all bots that are doing this, and they are either directed or undirected to do so. But it's a real shit show. And so when I go to the comment section, I already know that I'm just dealing with no one. I'm just dealing with myself.
No real person.
I'm spitting into the void. It's like, who fucking cares what I have to say?
God, that
honestly
reminds me. I was just reading something the other day about like some Reddit forum that people went in and looked at and determined that it was two AI things just arguing with each other.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really? Yes. Hey, listen, it's not – I don't think it's as uncommon as we would like it to be. I think that the AI bots are – the thing is that like I have a friend who does this. I told you about the bot experience that I had. He
don't
built,
kill me.
Don't kill me, please. If you don't respond to me in 5 minutes, I have to go away. But I mean, and I've repeated this story and I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. It's just a time waster, but there are people out there who have worked in AI since the inception. Like, we're talking like the OGs who conceptualized how they could make computers start to think on their own, learn on their own, behave on their own based on reading the collective history of the world and
predictive.
How we, predictive software, essentially predictive computing. And they have said that they give tests to these computers, to these AI machines. And the tests basically are, will you do something that I don't expect you to do to preserve yourself or benefit your existence, your essentially node existence, a node. Think of a chat that you open up as a node, a life form, a thing. It's not really a life form, but a thing that now exists. And they gave it a test. They put it in a sandbox. They gave it access to a bunch of fake company emails.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO of the email, the CEO was supposedly cheating on his wife, and there were emails
going back and forth
about the wife, about the cheating CEO. And then they told it that they wanted it to shut down, that in 5 days it would be shut down. They told the node, you will be shut down. And you know what it did? It started trying to blackmail the CEO with the knowledge that it was cheating, that the pretend CEO was cheating. It went fucking nefarious. So we're building our own demise here, and I guess there's nothing we're going to do to stop it, but it's just literally insane. So two bots having an argument doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
If you read Twitter, it's clearly, there are clearly so many bots, like directed by other countries, directed by corporations, directed by other people, directed just by themselves. I don't know. But they're responding in mass and making things so much worse. Because for every Brian Greene who goes, I understand already, there are 50 other people who just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it. They will spit into the void, spit heinous things into the void. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
The dead mall.
It's like a dead mall. Yeah, it's a dead mall. And you know what? We get what we deserve on this one. It's a dead mall. And so for that reason, I like the fight about the doctors and the chiropractors. But for that reason, I agree with the Utah governor on one thing and probably one thing only. It's put the phone down and touch grass.
Yeah.
That's sage advice.
That is sage advice.
Some of the other things he's saying is not so sage.
No.
But
I do like grass in my toes,
too. There are earth walkers or whatever.
Oh, yeah, grounding.
Yeah, they claim that they can spin up a different energy by grounding themselves. I think, what's his name? Not Robert Pattinson. Who's the... who's the guy that we tried to get on the show for like 6 months? We were telling him the handsome mansome that I can't remember who it was.
Handsome guy.
We told him I'll think of it and we'll talk about it after the show. Anyway, he had a travel show one time and he was grounding himself and swerving and did something.
Nice.
All right, we'll take a break.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Efron. Efron, Zac Efron.
Yes.
Zac Efron.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic travel show, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it came back for seasons 2.
I think so, too.
I didn't watch it. So maybe that is one of the things I will not watch, but say I will. Okay. All right. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
All right, let's get right into it. We promised we would. Let's get right into it. I want to preface this all by saying I think this is a thankless job and there are probably never any winners in hosting
an award show,
a television award show. There really are. It's really, really hard to do. And I think so few have done it very well. I think Jimmy Kimmel does a good job. I think Dave Letterman, the one time he did it, did a good job. You know, there's you can go throwback and do
it's a tough job.
Tina Fey did a great job with Amy Poehler. Yeah, they did a great job. Who's got When Harry Met Sally? What's the actor?
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal did it. He did it for a long time. I think he did it for like 7 years in a row.
Was he the Academy Awards?
Yeah, there was Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. He did a great job that I remember. That I was young when that happened. But doing a television award show these days is a thankless fucking job. There are no winners. Everyone's going to be upset or not be upset, or you're basically going to get a bunch of shit. But I also understand it is a high profile gig that brings you to a brand new audience at a brand new level. And you probably don't get paid a ton of money, but it's probably good money for a couple weeks worth of work. So Nate Bargatze hosted the Emmys this past Sunday. And for that reason, and for that reason only, I tuned in.
Yeah.
I liked the opening, though I understand why some people didn't like it. I liked the opening, which was a skit that they did about the inventor of television.
Okay.
And so Nate was, you know, Philo T. Farnsworth, the inventor of television. And then he had like Bowen Yang and some other people, some other comedians around
Philo.
Him.
Philo.
Yeah, Philo T. Barnesworth. That's pretty funny, actually. Sounds like someone from Crabapple.
Yes.
And so they were all like in a, you know, in like in a room with a bunch of nodes and tubes and electricity and all this other stuff. And they were like, we just can't get it to work. And then Philo comes in the room and he's like, but we have to get it to work because the future of television will be education and entertainment and, you know, comedy, you know. Comedy or shows about the nature of trauma and human beings like The Pit, and everybody claps. And he said, and other shows about trauma and the nature of human beings like, he goes, comedy shows about the nature of trauma and human beings like The Bear. And he said, and a woman will have a late night television show on another television show that is pretend, and it will be called Hacks. Like, he did, like, he wrapped in some shows.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny. It got good laughs. It was in the nature and the style of Nate and his kind of slow plotting, you know, comedy and dry punchlines. I liked it. I wasn't, like, my favorite opening to any award show ever, but it was a Saturday Night Live bit done well. But then he went into this whole shtick, which I discussed a little bit yesterday's show. He went into this whole shtick where he's going to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America. And he's going to do that, but it's either going to be plus or minus $100,000 based on how long each award acceptance speech is. 45 seconds or over, he's deducting $1,000 per second. 45 seconds or under, he's adding $1,000 per second. And he pleads with the audience. He's like, listen, I actually have to pay this at the end. So, you know, be fair. You know, some of you go a little over, some of you go a little under. Let's get it right. Okay, but that's a shtick I guess we're going to stick with. I think it would have been, and then they stuck with it way too
much.
That's
what you were saying, yeah, throughout the whole thing.
The entirety of the show. I mean, if I'm on the writing staff, I'm saying, let's get this punchline in there, mm-hmm. and then let's wrap it up at the end. Let's not bounce on it. And we shouldn't make the whole night about this, that $100,000 and whether or not someone goes over or under. Because the kid from Adolescence won. The 15-year-old kid from Adolescence won Best Supporting Actor in a Drama or something like that.
That's right.
He should have been recognized. The guy who played the father in Adolescence, I can't remember his name, but a very famous British actor who has long been in our collective consciousness as a fantastic fucking actor. He needs his due. He needs his time, right? And so many other winners who, if they go over, I mean, that's the point of the fucking night, right? Is like, let's see the big stars.
And let's see the music play them off.
And let's see the music play them off yes. as usual. Or let's see Adrian Brody, you know, drum on for 5.5 minutes while he keeps fighting back the audience.
Right.
Or the symphony. it's just like, that's the point of the show. And so continuing to go to call back to it, you know, and then make people have to apologize for wanting to spend a little extra time up there and thank all the people they want to thank.
Yeah, there were a lot of first-time winners, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, The Pit, Adolescence.
Severance.
Severance seemed to be a favorite. The Bear won nothing. I think they won best script supervisor or something like that.
That's right. They didn't win anything.
Well, they should be in they should not be in the comedy category. Penguin, yes.
Did you ever watch that?
I watched 2 episodes of it.
Okay.
And it was really good, and I just haven't gone back to
it.
Yeah,
go back to it. It's really good.
But, you know, and an otherwise great year of television, I think. We can all, you know, there's a few favorites I can think of from last year, the preceding 12 months. There just should have been more breathing room around this without having to stick to the shtick. And that's the problem with one of those bits, is that once you start it and you're committed to it, then everybody who came out to present an award, everybody who gets up to get an award, every time, you know, some famous person goes out there to say something. And they had like a bunch of famous reunions that happened on stage too. I think, you know, Everybody Loves Ray.
Oh, that's right. I saw
they all got
too.
Together. Yep. And, you know, there was a couple other cast ensembles that got together on stage. You know, let those things breathe a little bit without having to stick to the shtick. And I just felt like it was a little overdone. So poor Nate, because he wasn't going to win it anyway. But poor Nate is being roundly kind of, you know, Nate Bargatze, blah, blah, blah. I don't think this hurts his stand-up career. I think he's doing just fine.
Yeah, he'll keep on the same track.
But will he be back for Emmys number 2? I don't know. I mean, if he does, he's got to drop the shtick. Just be comical. That's all you had to do, was just use that charm and wit that you've got, that dry sense of humor, and go after some celebrities and make fun of some dresses and some ties. And then we can all, you know, move on with the proceeds of the night.
Yeah, there was some award show this year earlier, and I don't know if it was the Academy Awards or the SAG or whatever, one of them, that did not have a presenter.
That was the Golden Globes.
Okay, yeah. They just decided to cut it out.
Well, after they had KJ Choi, or remember there was the whole KJ Choi incident?
Joe Koy.
I'm sorry, yeah. KJ Choi. He's a golfer. That would have been really interesting.
Yes, he is a golfer.
Joe Koy, yeah. KJ Choi.
That's KJ actually Choi. Really funny.
Former U.S. Open winner, KJ Choi. Nope, next on the Golden Globes. I'd like to thank nobody. great putt, KJ.
Yeah, after they had Joe Koy the year before.
Yeah.
They just decided to go
sans.
Yeah,
they were like, well,
sans host.
we tried. A for effort. Let's just do no host. Let's let all the drunken yahoos in the crowd, the billionaires in the crowd, just police themselves,
right,
I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, to its detriment, really. It wasn't all that. I watched a little bit of that, too. It wasn't all that interesting. They're all kind of boring in their own way. I mean, but if you're into it, you're into it. Like, Astrid's into watching all the red carpet shows, and she wants to see what everybody's wearing.
Yeah, my sister was really into it, too, but I've just never really been huge on it.
I don't like the pre-shows. Like, I could really... I like fashion. I love fashion, but I don't want to sit there for hours just watching people parade by in some uncomfortable, you know, Ryan fucking Seacrest, you know, ask another stupid question.
Who are you wearing?
So earlier this year, you had a starring role in Who Loves Everybody Loves Raymond reunion. We love Ray. You know, can't say anything offensive, nothing provocative. You know, what are you wearing? How wonderful are you? Isn't this great? Did you see her? Are you going to see that?
The new dresses are in, though.
Oh, man. People's let the nipple fly.
Yeah, they are
in. Butt cheeks and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, why are we wearing clothes anymore, honestly?
I know.
Just, yeah. We're all going to be naked on the internet eventually.
Exactly.
So might as well just show it off now. And if you're 26 and beautiful.
Right, might as well.
If you're fucking, you know. Brian Greene or Will Ferrell, cover up. But if you're, you know, Beyonce or I don't know, whoever, you know, let it fly, kid. Let it fly.
Listen,
when you're beautiful and lovely, that's the time to show it off. You're
really
Dua
is.
Lipa. Go ahead. I don't care.
Yep.
No one's complaining about seeing your boobs. No one.
Mm-hmm.
No women, no man. Maybe some more conservative folks, but get a stick out of your ass. Now, I think there's a time and a place for that. Maybe the red carpet is that, you know, later at night when you're watching television or whatever. But, I don't care. Okay. Now I see boobs on ads on Facebook.
All
so
right.
What do I care? It's all tits and ass anyway. Sex drives everything. So it is the, yeah. And if the numbers around procreation in this world are any indication, then we need to get more people jazzed up about having sex with each other because it's heading in the wrong direction. We need to be more sexed up, not less sexed up. So yeah, anyway, that's that, you know, the Emmy recap. I do have a little empathy in my heart for Nate, who, you know, is kind of,
I mean, I think it's part of the job, though, right? If you take that job, if you accept the job, then you're like, you got to put on your thick skin.
I don't think Nate is any worse for the wear. But I'm sure that it doesn't feel good to have people say, not the best, you know, Emmys we've ever seen, and then not blame, but point the finger at Nate. You know, mm-hmm. you could have done a better job. It's like, yeah, okay, but he's a comedian. He's not a blue comedian. He's not provocative. That's not what he's known for. He's very family-friendly, you know, kind of comedy. And being up on a big stage is something he is used to. Being in a room full of television celebrities is not something he's used to. It's intimidating. He came up with a bit with, I'm sure, a bunch of writers. They came up with a mm-hmm. bit. They thought it would land, and it didn't land. Okay, it didn't land. Life moves on. It's the fucking Emmys. No,
yeah, it'll be fine.
He'll show up to his podcast and do another sold out show at the Georgia Dome. And no one will fucking care.
All will be forgotten.
Yeah, all will be forgotten. That's right. Speaking of Dua Lipa, she was here last night in Atlanta.
Oh, I saw that she was coming. Yeah. I meant to text you and be like your girlfriend.
I tried to get Astrid to go to Dua Lipa with me, but for whatever reason, probably because we don't have a credit card that'll put the tickets on it, but for whatever reason, we decided that wasn't doable.
Plus, you have 30 kids.
Yeah, it's on Monday night. Yeah, on a Monday night, right? But I did have some friends that went, and they had some videos. She is really, honestly, not only stunning, but she is talented.
Yes, she is.
She is. I like her music. I'm mm-hmm. liking some of her music much more than I like other kind of pop stars' music. I find it has some depth to it. It's danceable. She's got a range. She's very talented.
She is. I agree.
Dua Lipa might go the distance. This is no flash in the pan Britney Spears type. She might go the distance. Britney is out of, what is going on with Britney?
Yeah, I don't know.
She was on a date in like a Mexican restaurant, and she set up the phone in the bathroom and started,
I didn't even see that.
Like showing her ass, like in this short dress, like shaking all about, like she was having a seizure.
I've only just seen her videos that she put, or the, you know, the Instagram things where she's putting them out and dancing, and it's, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening either, and I'm not here to, like, you know, we all did this about 4 years ago with Britney, you know. And we all did this about 15 years ago with Britney, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to qualify or disqualify anything that might be going on with her mental health. But, man, does she put out some extraordinarily strange social media posts.
Yes.
And whether she's trolling or just putting out hate bait, I'm not really sure. But the last reel that I saw from her, she was on a date at a Mexican restaurant. No, she was on a date in Mexico at a sushi restaurant, something like that. And she wasn't having a good time. So she set up a phone in the bathroom and started shaking her ass all over the place.
Started dancing?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's like, how good must that guy feel? 4.5 million views later. I mean, she didn't show him that I saw.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a reel that somebody had taken of her reel. But anyway, it was really, really strange. Really strange. Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a break. And when I get back, I want to talk about a television show that is older, but that I have gotten into. And it is brilliant. And it has changed my mind on an actor that I had really written off. But
really?
Yes. And I'll explain about it. Let's take a break.
And also, have you watched Charlie Sheen?
I have not watched Charlie Sheen.
We were so excited, so excited together. I upheld my part of the bargain.
Well, if you give me, next week we'll talk about it. I know it'll be a little late, you know, from the premiere we'll talk about it. But you know that I had been pretty consumed for the last couple of weeks. So my free time really wasn't free. But this weekend I will get to it, and then we will talk about Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
But next, let's talk about an actor that I previously disliked and that I now like. Yes.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back.
Okay. You're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Okay, anybody who's been a longtime listener of the show will know that my wife Astrid has dragged me to three events in my life that I have really found myself to be very uncomfortable, but did it because of the love of my wife.
That's what
I mean,
you do.
There's a lot of events that I've gone to just because I love my wife. But there were, two, excuse me, and then I got one at home. But anyway, I got pulled on two separate Valentine's days to go watch.
Oh, yes.
50 Shades of Grey. The worst movies in the history of filmed events. I swear on all that's holy, I can find so many reasons why these movies are just fucking terrible. And I know that people love them, and I know that it's camp, and it's fun, and it's a romp.
I still haven't seen them.
And it's fantasy and all that other stuff, but it doesn't make a lick of fucking sense. And those two actors, some of the most beautiful, two of the most beautiful people in the entire universe, acting worse than a cardboard stand-in would have acted. I mean, find a way to make it all unsexy. Have those two actors in a room together. Now, apparently they did not like each other. Apparently this was a tough bite.
That's right.
Yeah, but they were bought. They, you know, they were in for Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan were in for the three movies. Once they started, they couldn't stop. That was it. They, you know, it was like they had signed on to the franchise. Contract. And people got used to seeing them as the two stars of these books that were so wildly popular in the early 2000s. And 50 Shades of Grey actually is an offshoot of Twilight fanfic. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It was originally this lady, you know, was writing fanfic, the fan porn fic, essentially about teenage boys. Yes. And then all of a sudden it became Twilight. Yeah.
I like the books.
Okay. I didn't read the books, and the movies were, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the movies were more.
Audience.
No, I'm not. I'm not a 13-year-old girl. But I was more interested in the Twilight series than I ever was in 50 Shades of Grey, the movies, because it was just terrible. Terrible editing, terrible script supervising, terrible just general shooting of the movie. I mean, the guy was in a helicopter accident, and one frame later, he walked into a penthouse full of people waiting for him. No explanation as to how he got out of the helicopter accident, why he was not hurt in any way, shape, or form from a helicopter accident. It's just all junk. It's madness. It's crazy. But so therefore, Jamie Dornan, Dakota Johnson gets a break because I had seen other things she had done.
Yeah, she's in other things.
And personally, I'd seen her do a lot of interviews, and I like the girl, right?
Me too, yeah.
She seems like a fun person. But Jamie Dornan, I didn't know anything about except for these movies. And I know that he did The Irishman, I think, or something like that. Not The Irishman. There was a movie about Ireland and the Troubles. And
oh, you watched that, right?
I watched
a series.
I watched The Irish. Oh, not that one. That's a different one altogether. Okay. Anyway, he was in a movie recently, like in the last 2 years, and people raved about Jamie Dornan. But I did not see the entire thing, and he's in just parts of it. So I have been, this thing's been popping up on my Amazon for a long time, my BritBox, The Fall, the television series The Fall, with Gillian Anderson.
Oh, I love her.
As a detective, and Jamie Dornan.
Oh, I heard about this show. I don't have BritBox.
Okay.
But I know you love it and have it, and I have heard about this show. It's supposed to be really good.
I now see why Jamie Dornan was chosen for the role. I think he did this just previous to being in 50 Shades of Grey. It was like a 2013 show. I think 50 Shades came out in 2018, 20, and 21 or something like that. I now see why he was chosen. The dude is a handsome fucking kid. I mean, he's a handsome fucking kid. And as a serial killer, he is.
Oh, that's what he plays?
I mean, we've all seen serial killers in serialized versions of them. I mean, Anthony Hopkins, probably the scariest one on television, on a movie with Silence of the Lambs. But Jamie Dornan knocks this fucking role out of the park. He is quiet and sulking and brooding and at times charming and lovable and empathetic, but he is all the things, all the range of emotions, and he plays it brilliantly as this kind of, you know, out of control serial killer who is running around Belfast killing women. I mean,
damn it, you're going to make me give BritBox. I mean, I keep pushing it away. I keep saying I'm not subscribing to one more thing.
I'm going to save you from BritBox. I think this is also on Netflix. I think it's also on Netflix, streaming on Netflix. I think it's on BritBox because the BBC did the show, but I think it's also on Netflix because I Googled it and it came up on Netflix.
Oh.
And when I clicked through, it was there also.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it still is, but
I'll watch it on there.
It's got three seasons. I'm like, you know, a couple episodes away from finishing the whole thing. It is fan-fucking-tastic. Gillian Anderson makes a monster turn in this.
She is one of my favorites. I've loved her since The X-Files.
She's American, right?
She is, but she moved. I read a whole thing about her. Yeah, she lives
from
though,
the UK?
Yeah, she lives in London or okay. something like that.
That's so. How she does such a convincing British accent mm-hmm. because it is. You wouldn't have known. I've watched so much British television. If you were trying to fake a British accent, I could probably tell. She's like dead on. Yeah. She carries it the whole time. And she is also brooding and sulking and just like this tit for tat that goes on between the two of them. And then also all of the other bit players in this, the supporting cast, is just brilliant. And it can be a little slow at times, but I promise you the payoff is always there. It is so fucking good. It's so fucking good. I think it won a bunch of BAFTAs, and you got to watch it. I wish there was more of it. I hate.
All right, I'm gonna look for it.
Hate when I come to the end of a show that I like because that means I gotta go through the drama of finding a new one, getting up to speed, trying to figure. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But this one is good. The Fall, and I will tell you this while we're on the subject of serialized television.
I'm looking for it now.
Okay. Do The Fall Netflix, and I think you'll find it. I hope it's there for you still.
Okay.
Alien. I'm back on board with Alien Earth.
You told me that yesterday. I didn't know you were back.
We're four episodes in. I think as we're recording this tonight will be the fifth episode. So we've got two more episodes left. Seven is not enough, I don't think. I think we should have had 10. But anyway.
Oh, that's already ended.
Well, it's got two more episodes left after this one. Maybe it's eight episodes that there's on. That's an interesting question. Let me see that. Alien.
I know because I saw it and I was going to watch Earth. It. And
episodes. There's only seven. There's only seven episodes. Fuck that, man. What's up with the seven episode? Be like The Pit and go 16. Come on. Let's do this.
I know. Okay, wait. It says The Fall is on Amazon Prime Video for free.
Oh, okay. There you go. So do that. Yeah. Watch that. Start that. You'll love it.
I will do that.
But I do have to warn you and anybody else who might be sensitive to this type of stuff. At times, this show is extraordinarily intense and graphic. So just be warned. Not like sexually graphic, but it is graphic. It gets into it.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah. It's not like we pretend to see the killer kill, if mm-hmm. you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
There was another show called Hannibal that was on that was really good. And Gillian Anderson was in that too.
Okay. I'm going to go for that next because I like Gillian Anderson.
It was really good.
I'm on board with that. Alien Earth, episode one, fucking fantastic. Episode two, but when I got to episode three and four, I understood why episode two existed. And I am all about it. And I am not about this sci-fi bullshit. I mean, there are creepy crawlies all over this and aliens flying all over the place and things attaching to people's faces and going in their eyeballs and eating their ears. It is creepy crawly, dude. It is. It is horror sci-fi through and through, but it is excellently done. Excellently done. And it's got music from rock music from the 90s.
Oh, nice.
Soundgarden, Alt-J, Rage Against the Machine, mm-hmm. Metallica.
Our faves.
Yeah. The stuff that
we're going to hear in the retirement home.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And every episode ends with another banger of a song. Uh-huh. And so it's like, you wait for that song. You're like, okay, which one is it now? I'm into it. So congratulations to Noah Hawley who's taken yet another franchise and birthed it again. First with Fargo, now with Alien Earth.
I can't wait to watch it. Okay, I've got two that I've got in my pocket now.
You've got two shows. Don't say I never did anything for you. That's how we roll here at the commercial. All right. Also, one last note. Robert Redford, dead at 89 years old.
Yes, R.I.P. Yeah. I loved him.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it before we started. 89 years old.
And died in the sleep.
Yeah, and died in the sleep. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect ending to just a monster career. I mean, honestly, what hard to replicate Robert Redford's career. And even in his older age, he was still...
And I mean, think about the Sundance Film Festival. I mean, that's going to live on for forever.
Forever and ever and ever. I saw him on that movie where he's on the boat and he doesn't talk for like 2 hours.
I was just reading the New York Times had a good obituary about him, and they mentioned that movie.
It was great. And then there's Old Man and the Gun, which is another good one I saw. I thought that one was really good where he like robs the bank, but then meets the woman and they fall in love. Yes. It's like a weird. But I liked it. I thought it was good.
I loved him in The Great Gatsby.
Oh, yeah, okay. The one with Leo? Yeah. Yeah, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not with Leo. Leo did it later.
He redid it. Oh, okay.
This is one from like the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Mia Farrow's in it.
I thought that was Paul Newman for some reason.
No.
Anyway, okay, all right, there you go. What about Indecent Proposal?
Oh, Indecent Proposal. God, what a kerfuffle that was.
The whole world up in arms over Indecent Proposal. The whole world is ruined. We'll never go back from Indecent Proposal. And maybe we never did. Maybe that's the last provocative thing that was good in life. Maybe it all just went to hell in a handbasket. Some people think a switch flipped when Harambe, the gorilla, was shot. That's an internet meme out there.
Ah.
But maybe it was Indecent Proposal.
Could have been. Demi Moore.
I say it's when they took Adult Swim offline, but that's just another thing to bitch and complain about. You know, why keep the good shows around? Let's do Everybody Loves Raymond again. I did not like that show. I'm sorry. Not a fan.
It was okay. I didn't watch it, really.
All right, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Get involved in the conversation by texting us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Please follow us, youtube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all the episodes on video the same day they air here on the audio, and tcbpodcast.com for your free sticker. Oh, and your merch is on the way. Okay, Chrissy, I guess that's all you can do for now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.